A beautiful day which is filled with so much joy as Christians. A day filled with so much joy as Christians. When it is that we look on the tomb this Easter morning, we see Jesus who is gone. We see the tomb empty. We peer in the tomb and at first we're afraid. We don't quite know what to think. Who has taken the body of Jesus? We don't quite know what's going on. How can someone possibly roll away that stone that blocks the entrance to the tomb? So heavy, it must have taken at least 10 or 20 men to be able to move it. And yet here it is, it's moved. It's gone. The tomb is empty. Where Jesus once lay, he is now resurrected. What does that mean for us as Christians? What does that mean for us who sit here as disciples, who now know that we are here on Easter morning? We are now looking into the empty tomb with the disciples. What does it mean for us? Take a step back. A lot of the modern day tries to say this is just a mythology, that this is just fake news, that this didn't actually happen, that it might have been a story just kind of fabricated by the disciples in order for them to kind of get followers. If my brothers and sisters, if the resurrection did not happen, I'm wasting my time. You're wasting your time. Why are we even here? What's the point of all this? As St. Paul says, if it is that Jesus did not rise from the dead, my preaching is in vain, and we are the most pitiful of all persons. We are the most pitied of all persons because we go throughout our entire lives to preach this good news to the entire world, to all who will hear it. That to all who hear it, now it is that we are going into creation anew. Now it is that we die to our sins. We've gone through Lent. We've died to our sins. We've died to ourselves so that we can look upon this day and look upon the tomb and see how it is empty. And see this day in which we celebrate with such great joy. We were right, we were clapping. How beautiful it is. To the Christian, this is everything. The resurrection is everything. That when we see the story of the early disciples, even them in the Gospels, they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite understand it. Even when they saw Jesus resurrected, they didn't. Some doubted. We're always told some doubted. Some began to doubt. Some didn't realize. My brothers and sisters, they still went to their deaths, preaching Jesus Christ. Until it is, even when they were tortured, even when it is they had gone and seen the very darkest depths, anything that would break the normal person, they went there and they preached Jesus Christ to the very last breath. My brothers and sisters, today we look at the tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen from the dead. What we once thought was the scariest thing for us, what we once thought is that question of what are we most scared of, and that is death and suffering. Now Jesus takes that upon himself, and he tells us that when we put our death, when we put our suffering in him, there is no finality to life. There is no end point. But rather, there is the resurrection of life. There is a new life that is now given to us. That life is much more than we could have ever imagined. They look in the tomb, my brothers and sisters. They see it empty. They're afraid. They don't quite know what's going to happen next. But little do they know that they're going to find Jesus again. And when they find Jesus again, how happy they'll be, happier beyond their entire imaginations. This week we've gone through Holy Week, we've gone through Holy Thursday, we've gone through Palm Sunday, we've gone through Lent. We've journeyed with Jesus in the desert. As he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, we also fast 40 days and 40 nights. The question now becomes, did we die to? The question now becomes, Jesus gives us his everything. On Holy Thursday, we see him have the Last Supper with his disciples. When he has the Last Supper with his disciples, he gives them something, a great gift. The great gift that we receive whenever it is that we come to the altar of God. The great gift of Jesus who says, this is my body, partake of it. This is my blood, drink of it. This is me, receive me. This is me. He wants to give himself to his disciples in a way they could never imagine. That each and every day now, they have Jesus with them. And we have Jesus with us when it is that we come to Mass. We have Jesus with us when we receive him in the Eucharist. When we truly understand what is going on in the Eucharist. You see, for Good Friday, the line stretched down all the way to Farmington Road, from Maple down to Farmington, right? The line was endless. How many complaints do we get about the police department, right? How big is the line? If we truly understood who Jesus was in the Eucharist, there would be lines out the door and lines of people all the way out to Farmington and beyond who are trying to now receive Jesus Christ, who will deliver you from your darkness, who will show you what it means to live in the newness of life, in the newness of the resurrection. We've died. We've died during this Lent to ourselves. The question now becomes, do we die to Jesus? You see, my brothers and sisters, because I want us to really focus on the empty tomb. How is it that we die with Jesus? How is it that we die with him? What do we do? When we look in the empty tomb, when we sit with Jesus from Good Friday and now into Easter Saturday, when we're sitting in the tomb, we saw the stone roll away. We saw the light now peer in into the tomb. We saw now the emptiness of it. But the question for us is, did we die? Did we die to him so that he lives now in us? We all have stones, my brothers and sisters. Stones at the entrance of our tombs of our hearts. Stones that are placed there. Stones that we try to remove. Stones that hopefully during this Lent we've been able to pull aside. Whether those stones were distractions, whether the stones were sins, whether there was the stones of convenience, whether it was the stones of laziness, whether it was the stone of impurity, whether it was the stone of busyness, whether it was the stone of money, whether it was the stone of addiction, whatever it might be. What is this stone that is at my heart, and how have I done to try to remove it? Because Jesus is looking to enter into your heart. He's looking for you to have freedom. He's looking for you to experience love. He's looking for you to experience his light. He's looking for you to have a relationship with him. But that becomes the question for us today. How did we do during this Lent? Maybe you didn't do too well. Maybe we did great. Maybe there's still some things we need to work on. Maybe we've been on the right trajectory. Now we need to double down in our efforts each and every day. There's one thing Lent has taught us, is how free we become when it is that we fast. How free we become, how much it is that we know him, when it is that we pray, when we speak to him. Take those lessons of Lent. Journey with Jesus. Journey in the freedom. Journey with him. Brothers and sisters, I want to end with this moment. Yeah? We come here today, a great joy, again, a great joy to know that this is the center of our Christian life, that Jesus Christ has indeed resurrected from the dead. And when he has indeed resurrected from the dead, we see it in the disciples who have died in their lives to defend that very truth, to defend the truth that we might know who Jesus is today. And the church continues the mission. We follow the mission. Remove the stone from your heart in order to know who Jesus is. In order for you to truly experience him. And always stick to Jesus. Stick to him. Receive him in the Eucharist, even when it becomes inconvenient. See, my brothers and sisters, love is about inconvenience. How often husband and wife, how often do they inconvenience one another for each other? How often do they inconvenience because out of love for each other, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing this, I'm tired, I don't feel like taking care of the kids, I'm tired, whatever. In every stage of life, there's going to be inconvenience. How much do we inconvenience our parents? How much do they inconvenience us when they ask us to do something, but we do it? Love is about inconvenience. Any relationship that is worth anything is about inconvenience. Jesus today dies for us, not for him. Jesus didn't have to do this. And yet he does. Inconveniently, he places himself on the cross so that we might be able to live. Inconveniently, he gives himself to us in the Eucharist so we might be able to live in him. The question now becomes, are we also going to be inconvenienced for Jesus? Are we also going to love Jesus? Are we also going to take time out of our day each and every week to go to him in the Mass, to receive him in the Eucharist? That becomes the question for us. And my brothers and sisters, the more we work on that, the more in which we know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And then and there do we know him as our Lord and our Savior. Amen.